The Supreme Court returned to conference on Monday, and as early as tomorrow, the court could decide whether to take a case of racial discrimination in the law. Louisiana is one of just two states that allow criminal felony convictions without a unanimous jury. The law traces back to the state's 1898 Constitutional Convention and the establishment of Jim Crow in the post-Civil War South. Here's historian Tom Aiello, who wrote a book about the law in Louisiana.
The president of that convention stood on the floor and said, "This is our chance to reimpose white supremacy." And then, you know, people just kind of forgot about it. If you weren't involved necessarily in the criminal justice system, you didn't really know about it. It turns out, though, that it is very much the last kind of surviving Jim Crow law in the South.
Fast forward to today, and the case of Dale Lambert, a man currently serving a life sentence for second-degree murder, even though two of the 12 jurors concluded that prosecutors had not met their burden of proof beyond a reasonable doubt. Lambert is now challenging the constitutionality of his conviction, and that case could wind up in front of the Supreme Court. It's this week's Case in Point with Andrew Cohen, senior editor of The Marshall Project. Andrew, welcome back.
It's good to be here.
Andrew, Louisiana is just one of two states with this type of jury law, as I mentioned. The other is Oregon. How did this come to be?
It's fascinating that you would have two states so geographically different, politically different today, right? One red state and one blue state have these rules. In Louisiana, it was a racial thing. Black people, obviously, after the Civil War, got the right to vote there. They got the right to be on juries there. And so what Louisiana lawmakers did, the white supremacists of the time, they convened a convention and they came up with new jury rules to essentially dilute the power of black jurors in any given case. They were afraid that black people sitting on a jury would vote to acquit a black defendant. And so they took that power away from a single a black juror or two black jurors. In Oregon, it was anti-Semitism that drove the law there. There was a Jewish defendant in a case who was acquitted. People were furious. It was a murder case, a very high-profile murder case at the time. And so Oregon voters essentially voted for this rule that allows for non-unanimous juries there. So two very different reasons resulting in the same thing.
Is there something particular about Dale Lambert's story here and his conviction that goes to the heart of the matter, or is this really about the jury law itself?
No, I don't think there's anything about Dale Lambert's case that's particularly profound or appealing. You know, obviously there wasn't a great deal of evidence because you did have reasonable doubt in the minds of at least two jurors. What he is saying is, look, the time has come. This is a Supreme Court that's a little bit more sensitive to racial justice, especially given a few of the rulings that have come down over the years, and that it's time. And one of the arguments he's making is essentially a conservative argument that says the original meaning of the Sixth Amendment was to have unanimous juries. And Louisiana and Oregon have essentially gone away from that traditional conservative approach. He's hoping, his lawyers are hoping, that that will attract the attention of at least one or two of the conservative justices on the court.
Andrew Cohen, we've talked about this principle before, the intent of the law when it was enacted. The White House travel ban was a case where courts said that the president's statements as president and in the campaign showed that at least some of the travel ban was motivated by animus towards Muslims and that that was enough to invalidate it. So here, it was expressly racist when it was enacted. How much does the original intent of the law play into the argument here?
Well, it's got to count for something, right? And what Lambert is hoping is that the Supreme Court finally says, look, enough is enough. We can't have these two outlier states. It is undisputed that racial discrimination, religious discrimination were at the heart of these rules. And because of that, the other justifications for the rule have to be particularly profound. What the court has said in the past, decades ago, is that, well, you know, there are enough indicators of reasonable doubt. There are enough due process protections when you are requiring 9 or 10 jurors to find somebody guilty. There are values in streamlining cases, making them more efficient by not requiring it. All of that is against the meaning of the Sixth Amendment as it was interpreted when it was created. And if a couple of justices agree with that, especially on the conservative side, then it's possible the U.S. Supreme Court can take this case. That's the first step. And then overturn these two rules.
Andrew Cohen, senior editor at The Marshall Project. Thanks, Andrew.
My pleasure. Anytime.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.